Whoa. Why y'all so happy?
You don't know. Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated,
excited,
and influenced.
Why?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia.
And now,
here to motivate, excite, and influence you,
Charvette Mitchell.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. I am super excited to have you joining us here today on this lovely, wonderful Tuesday. You know, we're holding it down here in the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but heard all across the World Wide Web. I'm telling you what, we are glad to have you today. Today's topic, today's show, the first segment is juicy. It's something you can put your teeth in. Listen, we're going to be talking to Coach Yvonne Chase, and we're going to be talking about five wrong reasons to marry. We're going to give you some helpful information. She's been on the show before, so she is back by popular demand. She's a dating and relationship coach. She's been featured on numerous radio and TV shows. Today she was just tweeting back and forth with the Ricky Lake show. So I'm telling you, we have someone here that's going to give you what you need to know about relationships. We definitely got to give a shout out to all of those that are listening, that listen throughout the week, to all of the shows. Big shout out to those listening from Greensboro, North Carolina. How you doing? To those listening from Lynchburg, Virginia, hello. Those from East Elmhurst, New York, we're glad to have you. Richmond, Virginia, of course, we're glad to have you. Canton, Michigan, we're glad to have you. Shelton, Connecticut, Virginia Beach, Virginia, Washington, D.C., and the list goes, oh, Las Vegas, Nevada, we're glad to have you. Los Angeles, California, we're glad to have you, and the list goes on. Welcome again here to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. I hope you're following me on Twitter. I know we have some listeners that are tuning in from Twitter, and I'm on Twitter at twitter.com/Charvette, and of course, connect with me on Facebook, facebook.com/Charvette. All right, so we're rolling right on in. Five wrong reasons to marry, and I'm bringing to the mic right now. You've heard her chuckling all through my introduction here again. Coach Yvonne Chase, welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Welcome back, I should say.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing well. And so I'm just excited to have you. I was on your e-blast, and I saw you put out something that said five wrong reasons to marry. Yeah. And I said, oh, that's a show. So I need to get on to talk about that. You know, it's so interesting because this time of the year, a lot of weddings, people are getting engaged. Yeah. So, you know, what do you have you seen in just your coaching and interactions, have you seen urgency on any particular group of people, any age bracket around getting married?
I've seen a lot of older men. And, you know, the post that I wrote stemmed from an older, and I mean, I don't think mid-40s is, you're not on your way to your grave yet. I mean, that's kind of like you're 60 or 70, so you still have, you know, some time, especially from a male's point of view at 45, 46, 47. But I've seen, I know a lot of people that are getting married. I have a girlfriend that's getting married this weekend. She's in her 30s. But the post stemmed from men that realize, I'm getting older. Mm. I've got this woman. We've been living together. We might as well. And it reminded me of something my father shared with me. And he told me it around Christmas, but he told me he shared it with all of his sons. And one of his sons took it to heart. And he told his sons, when you waste your youth sowing your oats and running around with women, don't be surprised when you have a hard time finding a wife.
Wow.
And, you know, we see this and we hear about it. Like, if you watch, I don't watch Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, but I hear enough about it on my timeline on Twitter every Monday night. It's the Benzino character that's been out there playing around, going from woman to woman, and now you're 47 and death is looking you in the face. I guess you think it is. I don't know. And you're like, you know, now I'm ready to be a one-woman man. Let me go find somebody. You know what I mean? And so I think age pressures, because, you know, the joke is you don't want to be the old man in the club. You know what I mean? So
Old player.
Right. So, let me find this woman, and, you know, whether I love her or not, whether she's the best fit for me or not, you know, I got to get married. It's the right thing to do. It's time. I'm getting old.
So you totally answered that a different way than I thought you would. I thought for sure this was stemming from women, you know, in their 40s or whatever, or they've been married before and now they want to get married. I did not know that this article stemmed from men. That's interesting.
The article stems from an old, I wrote it about an old love interest. And if the people that are listening, if they go to my website, YvonneChase.com, they can read it, but it's about an old love interest that, you know, it's the same thing that I just said, you know, when you're young, you meet someone, a lot of guys are shopping for a bigger, better deal. And when you shop for a bigger, better deal, you end up losing out on the best deal. And then you end up just taking what you can get because, you know, you're older. And, again, you think time is running out. And, again, you're like, oh, well, I got this one. I don't know if another one is going to come along. Let me just take her. And, you know, so I wrote that based on a guy, not a woman. A lot of people think, like you said, it's a woman. The biological clock is ticking. I got to get married. I got to have a kid. Let me just find somebody. You know? But, no, guys go through it, too.
Guys go through it, too. Okay, so there you have it, listeners. Guys go through it, too. If you're just tuning in, welcome. You're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We are broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, and we're in a relationship spotlight talking to Coach Yvonne Chase about five wrong reasons to marry, and we're going to jump right into the reasons. So what's a reason number one that you have?
You know, the good old she makes me happy. I was talking
to...
No, it's not, because one day she's going to make you sad. One day she's going to make you cry. I mean, I think my last five blog posts have had in conversations from men, my neighbor, a really good friend of mine, my best friend in New York. These are three men, and then there are like two more guys that are all married that are not happy. And one guy said to me, gosh, if it weren't for my two boys, I wouldn't even be here, you know. Another friend who's been married 17 years, man, if she wasn't in this situation, I wouldn't be here. My neighbor, God, she hasn't lost his weight from this baby. I'm tired of, you know, we're not having sex. The reasons go on and on. I'm not happy. And happiness, life, who's happy every day of the week?
Right.
Who's
nobody.
Happy every second of the day? You know what I mean? And so there's this mentality that when you get married, your spouse is going to make you happy. That is a lie. That is a lie. Like, you are responsible for your own happiness.
You're responsible.
So happiness is not enough because, like I said, one day she's going to make you sad. One day she's going to make you cry. And one day you just might wish you never took your wedding vows. And then what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? And a lot of men say that. They just say, I'm just not happy. And what does that look like? What does that mean? And sometimes I think that's a scapegoat. Sometimes I think that's like one of those generic, easy answers because you can't really, I mean, you could go through a list of stuff. She's not doing this. She's not. But a lot of times like, well, I'm just not happy.
And, you know, what you're saying is true because I had a conversation with a 50-year-old man, 5'0", not 1'5", 5'0". And he said, and he's not married, and he wants to be married. And he said, well, you know, if I'm not happy in a marriage, if she's not making me happy, then, you know, I'm just not going to stay there. And I said to him, I looked at him like he was crazy, because I really thought he was. And I said to him, did you ever think that maybe she's not happy either? I said, you think that you're so great that she's like in a corner, like jumping for joy? Woo! She's happy? I said, when you and her marry, you are one. So chances are, if you're not happy, she's not either. And you got to look at you. You got to look at how you're approaching your relationship. You can't point fingers and blame her for your unhappiness. Both of you are contributing to this relationship. Well, of course, you didn't want to talk to me anymore, and you know.
I know what you're saying. Sometimes it's a hard pill to swallow. So the first one... Yeah, she makes me happy. And then it's interesting because, so you titled that She Makes Me Happy, but there was a comment on the blog, on your post, from a lady, and similarly, she, you know, he made her happy. He loved her. She just got married just because, you know, he loved her. She'd been there a while. So it goes back and forth. Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the second thing, a one of the reasons, the wrong reasons to marry?
We've been living together and we're practically married. It works. You know, I think if you read anything at my website, I'm not a fan of living together before marriage. I think it's not a good move. I think that it sets a false stage for what's about to happen, because people think that, you know, acting like you're married and being married are two different things.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when people, you know, all of a sudden she's acting like a wife and you're acting like a husband and you have all these expectations. And you're like, well, you weren't that way before. Of course you weren't, because you weren't walking in these roles. There's something about stepping into that role that now makes you act differently, talk differently, expect differently. And so the fact that you've been living with someone for a long time and, you know, you think it works, I don't think that's a wrong reason to marry, because it's a default reason. It's because if you weren't living with that person, would you marry them?
Right. Are you living together because of economics?
Right. And then the thing about it is, you know, a lot of women want to be married. So I think before a man moves in with someone, he ought to know the kind of woman he's moving in with. If you're moving in with a woman that wants to be married, after a couple of years, she's going to start looking at you sideways like, okay, look, you know, we've been living together. I'm cooking. I'm cleaning. We're what? And you're going to cave. A lot of guys don't have the strength to walk away. Some do, but you don't want to put yourself in that situation. You don't want to put yourself in a situation where you just marry someone by default just because that's what they want and you're not ready for that. So if you don't want to be married. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was gonna chime right on in with that. Absolutely. If you don't want to be married, not sure, don't move in.
Right, or don't move in with someone that wants to be married. Because a lot of guys, like the guy that I wrote about, he wanted us to move in together. He said to me, let's move in together, let's see how this works, and then maybe in a year or two we'll get married. And I thought, no, no, I don't do that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's just not, no, we're not doing that. So, you know, you go on and you find someone that's going to make it comfortable for you to do something that you don't really want to do in the way that you want to do it. And that's just that's not the right way to get married. Like marriage, you know, I was talking to one of his friends about this, and it comes to find out that I wasn't the only one, you know, that felt like he was making a huge mistake, because all of his groomsmen thought, like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? You don't love her. What is this about? Like, really? And they just kind of all, you know, went along with it for the day just because, I guess, out of obligation, or I'm being a good friend, you know, brother, you know, that kind of thing. But this is your life. Like, unless you want to be married, you know, and I'm going to follow it up with a post of 5 right reasons to marry. I'm still putting it together and working on it. But marriage is serious. It's your life. Like, you can't just enter it by default or just because, or this is what's expected of you, or, you know, she's looking at you crazy, like, okay, let's do this, you know?
And you're impacting someone else's life, too. So let's be very clear about that. I mean, you are impacting someone else's life, even though it may be easy for you to say later, I'm done with this. You know, that the impact, the recovery time for all parties involved is extensive. And what always blows my mind about couples that live together are the ones that get divorced, like, quickly. Like, you live together for 10 years, and then you got married, and then 2 years later you're divorced. What happened?
But again, it's those expectations. You know, it's mind-blowing because people think that when you live together, you know, you're getting a taste of what marriage is. But then when you do the research, the people that live together before they get married and people that have sex before they get married have higher divorce rates than people that don't. And people think it's the opposite.
Uh-huh.
But if you Google it and you do all the research, their numbers are higher. And it makes sense to me because, again, like I said earlier, you know, acting like you're married and being married are two very, very different things.
Oh, yes. Very different. All right, all right, all right. If you just tuned in, welcome. You're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We're glad to have all of our listeners tuning in from Facebook and Twitter and Blog Talk Radio and Charvette.com and those that will listen in iTunes. We are super excited to have you here. We're chatting it up with Coach Yvonne Chase, giving you five wrong reasons to marry. Five of the wrong reasons to marry. So this is one of our relationship segments. Definitely check her out online, YvonneChase.com. Yvonne, how can they contact you on Twitter?
Oh, Yvonne Chase LA, YvonneChase, as in Larry, A as in Apple.
Great. Very easy, very easy. All right. What's third on the list?
It's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing
to
do. And marriage is honorable.
It is honorable. It absolutely is an honorable thing to do, you know, when you're doing it for the right reasons. And some, you know, when you fall into that it's the right thing to do category, you know, things come up like, oh, well, you know, but maybe she's pregnant, or, again, we've been living together for a while, or, you know, I'm at this age where, you know, let me just, you know, let me do this. You know, there's some kind of obligatory reason, you know, that you've, you know, that's whether it's real or it's something that you've created in your head, especially around the age thing. I don't think anybody is ever too old to be married. I had a girlfriend that got married at 48, and I remember her sending me an email saying that, you know, she had been reading my stuff for so many years, and, you know, she lived overseas in London, and she met a really great guy, somebody that she really felt she could spend the rest of her life with and really honor her vows, somebody that, you know, understood her vision and her values and her life purpose and was a good complement to that, and they were a good, you know, complement to each other. They weren't looking for someone to make them happy. They had lived long enough to cultivate and understand that happiness is something that they're responsible for, that they will bring happiness to each other's lives in a relationship, but that's not why they were getting together. And it was a very mature decision and mature conversation, and she's one of the happy married couples that I know. And it wasn't, you know, she didn't want to have children. Of course, she's 48, and it would be crazy for her to think that, you know, at 48 she's going to pop out a baby, you know. But he already had a kid, and so they were on the same page. It was something that they both decided this is the right thing to do for all of the right reasons for us. You know what I mean? There was no pressure. There was no obligation.
Yeah.
There was no circumstance. Nothing like that.
That's interesting, because when you hear people say, well, it's the right thing to do, usually they are internalizing what they feel someone else thinks they should be acting or doing. So it's not like they necessarily feel that this is what I should be doing. It's just an expectation that is out in the air of what they probably should do.
Yeah,
all right, listeners. Go right on.
Well, what I was going to say is that connects to the fourth reason, because, you know, and I'll let you introduce it, but, you know, that expectation can come from society, it can come from family, it can come from friends, you know, and it's depending on how heavy it's coming on, because I know the guy that I wrote about, I mean, it was something his mother expected. She's 84, 85, you know, and it's like, okay, I got to do this before she's, you know, while she's here, you know what I mean? Depending on how heavy that pressure is laying on you, that pressure could make you make a decision that you're not quite ready for.
Ooh, and that is sliding into number four, which is pressure from the family. But I want to go to a quick commercial break before we give them those last two. I know you're hanging on to the edge of your seat there. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show talking to Coach Yvonne Chase about five wrong reasons to marry. We don't want you to go anywhere. Keep it locked right here. You're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this. Industry Buzz with 3Gs.com. Join in today on the movement to bring integrity back to media. With one click of a button, you can disseminate your information right from Industry Buzz to all your favorite social sites like Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, and to your email contact. Maximize your vision today. Plus, get the latest news, entertainment, and media. Need fashion or makeup tips? Looking for a job? Connect with us today. Want to connect with other business visionaries? Connect with us today. This site is for everyone, from teens to music lovers, from businessmen and women, industry professionals, and performers. Summer. As a member of Industry Buzz with 3Z, you'll gain help promoting your vision. Industry Buzz with 3Z's will expose, expand, and keep your fan base up to date with all your happenings. Members also receive free or discounted perks from various sponsored companies. So join the social network. Expand and stabilize your business. Connect with like-minded individuals. Need an artist to minister at your upcoming event? Look on Industry Buzz. Have a voice and submit your article to our e-magazine. Industry Buzz with 3Z's is the place to globalize your vision. Establish it today. Be heard. It's all on Industry Buzz with 3Z.com.
Does your church or ministry have a website? Are you a local artist or author that has an established web presence? If you answered no to any of these questions, you're letting countless opportunities pass you by. Hi, I'm Charvette Mitchell. Mitchell Productions was created with your needs in mind. We will provide you with stylish and economical online marketing solutions. From email marketing to your own website, Mitchell Productions caters to ministries, nonprofits, small businesses, and special events. Check out our portfolio at Mitchell-Productions.com. In today's world, a website is not a luxury, it's a necessity. And Mitchell Productions can create your website in a stylish manner at a very economical price. Don't let business, customers, or new congregation members pass you by. Visit Mitchell Productions today at www.Mitchell-Productions.com. Let us showcase your organization to the world.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right, we're back. Again, thank you so much for checking out the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We are here with Coach Yvonne Chase talking about the five wrong reasons to marry. We definitely want to give a big shout-out to all those that are listening. Big shout-out to Gigi Hopkins in Richmond, Virginia. We see you posting on Facebook, loving the show. Thank you so much for checking us out, and all the rest that are listening, we appreciate you. All right, Coach Yvonne, let's jump back in. So number four, pressure from family. That's not enough to get married?
Girl, no. I know some kids, and I call them kids, you know, they've just graduated college. They're what? Some are 19, some are 20, 21.
Oh, yeah.
That's young. And their parents are already talking to them about when you get married. You know, when you get married, this is going to happen. And when you get married. And, you know, and their parents, they're innocent. You know, it's an innocent conversation. But, you know, a kid at that age, I think there's still, you know, some living to
do.
But then the flip side of that is, you know, overall, I believe we live in a society that puts a lot of marriage is significant, okay? It's significant, it's honorable, it's a great thing, it's good. However, you can be significant, you know, if you never marry or until you marry. And I think
agree.
That's something, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to do that with pressure from anyone, not even the person you're dating. You know what I mean? In the instance of this gentleman that I wrote about, like I said, his mother, she's in her 80s and, you know, closer to death, I guess, than not. And knowing what her expectations are and, you know, the kind of family he comes from and things like that, you know, it's like, okay, you know, this is something she wants. And like I say in the post, you know, if they've been waiting for a little while, like, you know, they can wait a little bit longer until you're ready to do it. You know, you don't want to cave into society pressure, family pressure, pressure from friends, you know, some people's careers make them get married because everybody else in the office is bringing their wife to a, you know, a corporate event or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know what I mean? We've seen that, you know? So.
Yes. I totally agree. I know my aunt in Millersville, Georgia. Hey, auntie, you know, she's like, I'm getting older and I want to be able to come.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if it's not a mother or father, it could be an auntie or, you know, uncle, you know, somebody that will constantly kind of say, hey, you know, you got any fellas? You got, you know, somebody, and it puts that pressure on your back. It really does. It really can. It really can.
If you let it.
All right, so tip number, or number five, not a tip, the fifth wrong reason to marry.
It's we're not getting any younger. And it reminded me of that song, that Jagged Edge sang back in the day, "Meet Me at the Altar in Your White Dress."
Yeah.
We ain't getting no younger, we might as well do this. And if you listen to the rest of that song, I think that song includes every wrong reason, you know, to marry. You know, and age is not a qualifier for marriage. You know, age, I was having a conversation with a young lady last night in her 20s, and she was mentioning something about a 30-something-year-old gentleman she met and expecting, you know, that he would be mature and wise. And we both agreed that age doesn't mean you're mature. Age doesn't mean you're ready for marriage.
Very
it doesn't.
True.
It's not a qualifier. You know,
so
it's you know, it's one of those things where, like I say in the end of the post, it's something, you know, marriage, it's a lifetime commitment, you know, and it's hard enough just from what I've seen and the numerous couples I've talked to and the numerous couples that talk to me for whatever reason, they just bare their souls.
Right.
Their marriage. It's hard enough when you do it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
And so I can't even imagine how much more hard it would be when you do it for all the wrong reasons.
And, you know, that other thing about the time, the pressure of, well, you're not getting any younger is for those that do want to have children. That is, you know, that can almost be that kind of on your shoulder thing whispering, you know, more so than, you know, like, well, I love them, you know, but what's pressuring me more is I'm not getting any younger because I need to have children.
But, you know, I have an interesting thought around that. You know, I believe that there are a lot of women today that marry because they want to have children, and then they can't
mm-hmm.
have children.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they have to go to the fertility doctor. They have to. And I've noticed it a lot more lately. So I don't know if there's something in the water. I don't know. I have my own thoughts on it, but I feel like, you know, a woman that wants to have children, I think that's something, you know, when you're dating and you're younger, yeah, you keep it at the forefront of your mind because there is some reality to, you know, the concept
right.
of the biological clock. And so it's up to you to not waste your time with someone that's not worth your time. So that now you don't get to the, now, you know, okay, so from 25 to 35, you're dating some clown, and you know,
right?
And now at 37, you're like, oh my god, I gotta find somebody. My clock is ticking. My eggs are rotting. Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Right. Yes.
Well, if you were to use your time, you know, wisely when you were younger, you wouldn't have this pressure on you.
Yeah.
So that's the other part of the equation for women. You know, taking responsibility, and then going to the doctor too to find out what your, you know, what's going on with you. I wrote a post about that, and I'm going to share that soon, just my own personal story around that. But, you know, going to the doctor and, you know, getting some tests done to see what's possible for you so that you don't
okay.
have these surprises, you know, when you're older. But definitely when you're young and you're going on dates and meeting men, like you said, time wisely, don't waste your time with situations that aren't going anywhere. And date the right way so that you don't find yourself in a trap.
All right. I love it. So younger listeners or just starting out, this is some good, wise wisdom right here, some good, wise wisdom. And another thing I'm going to throw in is don't fall in love with the wrong guy saying all the right things. So that'll be
exactly.
Sometimes you have to learn that lesson. I do want to highlight one of the blog posters. So she said the wrong reason that she got married was because she had known him for a long time. He had been
yeah.
around her family for years. She
mm-hmm.
thought she knew him, but didn't really know him at all, and got married because he loved her.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a video on my website. Just because you love him or he loves you doesn't mean you have to be with him. You
mm-hmm.
know? But I love him. What does that mean? What does that look like? You know what I mean?
Right.
You
yeah.
know, and she mentioned in her little comment, you know, in that little comment right there are three wrong reasons to marry. She's known him for a long time. What does that mean? It's like Nia Long in Love Jones. All we have are years. What does it mean?
Right.
Nothing.
Why?
You know what I mean?
Right.
He's been
right.
around the family for years. That's great. And, you know.
Right.
And then because because he loves me. Again, what does that look like? How does that look? And if you, and you know, I continued to comment with this woman, and they're not even together anymore. That was her first marriage, you know.
Wow.
And again, you know, we talked offline quite a bit, this commenter and I, and she's done, again, what a lot of women do. She's in a relationship that's just in neutral. You know, thankfully, she doesn't want to have children because she's done that already. But where would she be? She would be one of those women, you know, running behind her biological clock, trying to find somebody because she wants to have children, and she's wasted all of her time in this car that's sitting in neutral. It ain't going forward, it ain't going backward, it ain't going side, it ain't doing nothing. It's just sitting there.
And a car is meant to drive, so
yeah,
you need to drive, or you need to go in reverse, or you need to get out the car.
You just park it and get out. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, gosh. And there's so many things that keep people in neutral. There are a lot of people in neutral just for a lot of reasons, comfort, or they don't want to be alone, or they don't want to be by themselves. So I would rather be in a situation that's not going anywhere, because then I'm at least in a situation.
Yeah, it's better to have somebody than nobody.
Uh-huh.
I'll take anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we don't, if you look at TV, if you look at the media, every reality show is about some woman chasing a man trying to get a relationship. If it's not the sorry bachelorette, you know, or the bachelor, there's some matchmaker, matching of people that don't belong together. You know, there's, you know, you see that Love and Hip Hop train
basketball
wreck.
Wives, and so
basketball
now
wives.
Drama all over Twitter and the news about Ocho Cinco and whatever he did with Evelyn, allegedly, you know, did with Evelyn, and after all of that, and she wanted to get married so bad, but it looked like there were signs. It looked like, I mean, you could tell she was just very angry and very, it just seemed like there were signs, but she wanted to get married. I wonder which one of these she falls in, pressure or... He made her happy temporarily, you know, I don't know, but you could see she just wanted to be married so bad.
And then, you know, there's this conversation about, you know, why you're not married yet, as if, you know, there's an age, you know, as if you should be married by a certain time. And here's the thing, listen, people, anybody can get married. Anybody. I don't care what you look like. I don't care if you've got one leg. Anybody can get married. That's not the conversation. It's can you stay in this thing? Like marriage, it's supposed to be till death do you part. When you recite those vows, it says sickness and health, better or worse, rich or poor, till death do you part. Not until you piss me off. Not until I feel like it no more. Not until, you know what, I'm done with this. Not until, you know what, I'm not really feeling this today. You know, let me just go. No. So anybody can get married.
Yes, and let me tell you, I used to sell wedding dresses many moons ago, but I used to be a bridal consultant, and I saw wedding dresses, and I have to tell you, I saw every kind of anybody coming in. So it's not about looks, it's not about weight, it's not about how. I saw people with black teeth, with greasy hair, and paying cash for their wedding gown. So it would, and I saw ones come in with, driving in BMWs with fur coats dragging the floor. Anybody can get married. So that's not, and there is somebody for everybody, I personally believe. So, I'm totally with you. It's not about, I've seen them all. I've seen a lot, and a lot of them got married. Now, I don't have any sense of consistency to say if the fur coat lady still married versus the lady with the black teeth and agreed. I don't know. I don't have that data. I wish I had it. But anyway, listen, I know I have held you past your time, and I'm just excited. I enjoy your input and your insight, and appreciate you. Again, give our listeners all the ways that they can connect with you online.
Okay, so my website is Yvonne Chase, Yvonne. chase.com. That's where you can find all of my writings, videos, everything about me. And my Twitter is Yvonne Chase LA. And that's where you can find me on Twitter. And then YouTube, my videos are, you know, on the website, and you can click a video and it'll take you to my channel. And there's about 82 videos there for you to watch on living single, dating, and marriage.
Wonderful. There you have it, all wrapped up in a nice big bow. And listeners, I think you need to give our guests a big round of applause. Yes. Coach Yvonne Chase. Thank you. Thank you so much for stopping by the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. All right, listeners, we're going to go into a quick music segment. We're going to let you hear from Keandra Lockett, her latest mixtape, Someone Like You. Check it out. We'll be back to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show momentarily. Certainly here at the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, our goal and our mission is to motivate, excite, and influence. And we want to do that in all different kinds of ways. So that's why we bring you relationship segments. And we talk to authors, and we talk to artists, and we talk to all kinds of people, because our goal is to motivate, excite, and influence you. And we do that every Tuesday here right on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Listen, I'm excited. Again, check out our first guest, Yvonne Chase, online, YvonneChase.com, relationship specialist, relationship coach. She has great information that will help you with a healthy and wonderful relationships. And that's what we want. That's what we want. Listen, I'm excited because we are going into our second segment. We have an author spotlight, and you know that authors are near and dear to my heart. And I have a young lady that's hanging out. Actually, she's in the virtual green room right now. I'm going to be bringing her to the mic. She is an author. She's written a book called Voices of Sin, Traces of a Backslider. And I'm telling you what, this book is transparent, but it shares her journey. And the hope is that certainly God will get the glory through her life. And she's willing to share, you know, some things that she's gone through that hopefully will help deter you or those that may be listening from going down that road. And I'm telling you what, Cynthia Evans is our author spotlight today. We've been tweeting her up. We've been chatting her up on Facebook and all that good stuff. And so we're glad that you're checking us out here. We do see you on the phone lines. We do see you listening from Twitter and Facebook. And we appreciate you here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. So listen, I'm going to go to the mic right now, and I'm going to bring our guest on air, live on the air. Right now, I have Cynthia Evans joining me. Hello, Cynthia. Welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm just too excited right now.
Oh, It is my honor that you are here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, and we get to talk about this book with the title being even intriguing, and the book cover is even intriguing. So I love that packaging that you did there. So let's kind of start out with our listeners. How did you get into writing, and what kind of was the catalyst that said, hey, I need to write this type of book?
I'm glad you asked. It's a phenomenal story, I believe, because God used a individual in reality TV. I was listening to you guys earlier. You were talking about TV. But he used Antoya, at the time, Carter, to minister to and encourage me during my writing process. I sat down and wrote this book within 3 months because I was so excited about the fact that she wrote and finished her book, and I decided, you know, I can do this too. And that's where it started for me. I didn't have any plans for the book at all, but as I sat down thinking that I was just going to write your typical urban book, God just started to pour into me, and Traces of a Backslider was birthed, and I just presented it to the world. It was not planned. It was not my intention. It honestly was something that was divinely inspired, and I'm so glad that I was obedient to his pull on me at that time.
Wow, that sounds just like God. Sounds just like God. And so as you were writing, were you like, wow, I didn't, where is all this coming from? Did it even feel like an out-of-body experience? I hear sometimes authors say that.
It did. I felt like they weren't my words that I was writing. I was telling my story, I felt like God was having me write exactly what he was saying and ministering to me in my situation. And he just allowed me to use it to minister to others who may be going through or have gone through similar situations. So it was all because of him and through him, how we went about even bringing the book to the public.
Wonderful. And how did you come up with the title?
Voices of Sin is actually my brand. It's a name that we are using to release a lot of our productions under my husband and I umbrella company, which is Synergy One. But when I was talking to him about it, he said, you know what, I'm going to pray. I told him I needed a name for the book. He's like, I'm going to pray about it. And, you know, my name is Cynthia. So in the book, it's talking about and exposing, you know, my sins. And so he thought of this cool spinoff of the word S-I-N, and he came up with Voices of Sin, and I rolled with it. I just added the little Traces of a Backslider, and there it is.
Wow. Have you had anyone that, with the Traces of a Backslider, have you had anyone that was like, kind of like, oh, should you say that? Should you not do? Because I don't know why people get, church people get scared of the word backslider. You know, did you have any of that?
I have to tell you, I have had the most amazing experience with this project. I was scared to death to release it. Writing it was not a problem at all because I hadn't published it yet. But when it came time to release it, I was scared to death of the ridicule, the judgment, and all those things that I figured would come along with it. But when I tell you that the church has embraced me like never before. If anybody is saying anything negative about it or judging it, it hasn't come to me yet, and I thank God for it. I just believe that that's just him protecting me from it.
Yes,
but they
yes.
have received it well, very well in the church. I have pastors and first ladies that help me come over to their church and talk about the book. They support and push the book on their sites and through their congregation.
Wonderful.
It's been crazy. And my biggest response has come from the mothers of the church, which was surprising because I thought that it would just be my generation and younger. But I said, you know what, that just tells me that people have been wanting to say this for a long time but just didn't find the nerve to just go ahead and do it. So I just thank God for the protection, the shield of protection that's over me through this project, because I was intimidated, but his grace is getting me through it all.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. I'm so glad to hear that. Can you tell us what's a synopsis of the book? If someone was picking the book up and holding it and trying to decide, should I read this? Should I buy this? What's the synopsis you would give?
Absolutely. Voices of Sin, Traces of a Backslider, it was written with the backslider in mind. I know what it is like to struggle or to surrender to the things of the world, so I wanted to share my experiences and my testimonies with others who can relate in hopes that they are encouraged to keep seeking God no matter what it is that they're going through in their life. You know, it speaks to those of us who find ourselves struggling to submit to the will of the Lord because of our history, and those who find themselves wavering in their faith and sliding back into those things that's familiar to us, and as well as those who have reservations about walking in the things that God, you know, the gifts that God has given us, and especially that God-given anointing that we just run from, because we know our history, but God knows our destiny. So that's
right.
What the book pretty much wrapped up is all about.
And would you say it's written in a fiction, a nonfiction format, or in an autobiography type format?
It is written in a nonfiction format, and it is also up for a nonfiction award, African American Literary Award. But it's definitely written in a nonfiction format. Yes.
Congrats. So describe the characters that a reader might read about in the book.
Okay, let's talk about the young girl who thinks that she's in love and does not understand what love is, what love entails, what it means, what love is all about. But she thinks that, you know, if I don't have this person in my life for the rest of my life, I might as well end it, not knowing that until you understand what love is, you are only in lust and in fantasy with these individuals that you run across, and to just, you know, keep focused on the things that God has for you, because it's not about a relationship for anybody that is a teenager at the age that I'm talking about my experiences, which is 12 and 13 years old. Are you kidding me? You know? And so that's one of the things I talk about. You know, I grew up not knowing my father, didn't meet him until I was 13 years old. So I talk about my search for him. I talk about the experience of being fatherless and how I know that as a result, I've always found myself looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for my identity, looking for that father-like person to be in my life. So I just opened myself up to experiences that were not good for me. So I talk about those a little bit, about being caught up in domestic violence situations, again, behind love. So it speaks to dysfunctional relationships, definitely speaks to dysfunctional relationships. But it also speaks to the person who's not necessarily experiencing those things. It'll speak to the person who's in the church, you know, active ministry, and has a call and a purpose for their life, but they're afraid to walk in it, you know, because of that fear of the judgment that comes along with it, the accountability or the responsibility that comes along with it. That's kind of the season that I'm coming out of right now with my new project that's coming up, which is a documentary that we are actually filming starting this Friday called Traces of a Backslider. You know, like I said before, I know my story, but God knows my destiny. So he is just allowing me to, you know, remove myself from the guilt and the shame of yesterday's bad decisions and the consequences of yesterday's bad decisions, and allowing me to move forward in the things that he has called me to do. So it will speak to individuals who may be experiencing that type of fear as well.
Well said. And I'm telling you, you don't look like anything you've been through. You're so pretty. You're pretty as you can be. So you are ready, honey, for the big screen and the interviews and everything. I love that. I love that you use your, because you're on the cover. Isn't that you on the cover?
Yes, that's me. That is my past strongholds.
I love it. Well, you go ahead. I'm giving you a virtual high five. You go ahead on. If someone were to ask you, well, what is a backslider? Like, I don't know what that is, or how do I know if I'm one? What do you say to those questions if you get them? I don't know if you may get them or not, or if you don't get them.
I did get that question. I only got it once, but it was from a person who is a non-believer, a person who's not saved, so they didn't understand what the backslider is. But when I speak of the backslider in this sense, I'm speaking of the individual who is saved, who has accepted Christ into their life, who's, you know, baptized, blood washed, and there are some things that God requires of us when we are his children and we're walking in the kingdom and we are Christians, there are behaviors, there are attitudes that he expects from us, and a lot of us are aware of what those things are, and mm-hmm. we choose not to do it in spite of the fact that it displeases him. So when I'm speaking of the backslider from my book and from the documentary, I'm dealing with people who are saved, people who are Christians, confess with their mouths that they love the Lord with all their heart and all their soul, but they may be single and still having sex out of wedlock, which we know is a no-no. Mm-hmm. They may be married and committing adultery, which we know is a no-no. You know, dealing with lust of the flesh and lust of the eye and a pride of life. So that's the backslider that I am speaking to. I would define it as a person who deliberately disobeys the will of God for their life, knowing what that is. Because some people don't know, right. The Bible says that we're not accountable for what we do not know. So it's for those of us who know. It's for those of us
right.
who know, but we just want to keep playing the field.
I like it. Thank you. I wanted the listeners to hear from your perspective so that, well, listeners, when you go buy the book, you'll know where her angle and what she's coming from, where she's coming from. So, Cynthia, tell our listeners how they can purchase the book, how they can connect with you online and all that good stuff.
Awesome. You can purchase the book on Amazon.com. Just Google Voices of Sin, Traces of a Backslider by Cynthia Evans. A link will show up. The book is also available in Barnes & Noble and on the Barnes & Noble website. It's available in both Nook and Kindle. If you want to connect with me, I am all over the social media outlets. I'm at Twitter.com/Voices of Sin. Sin again is spelled CYN, Voices of Sin. And the same thing with Facebook.com/Voices of Sin. Please, please, please visit my website. It has all kind of links that will lead you to purchases and as well will keep you updated on what's going on with the book, with the documentary, and myself. And that is www.voicesofsin.com.
Thank you. Very easy. And if you're following me on Twitter, I have tweeted her. And if you're connected with me on Facebook, or even if you're not, it's a public post, you can connect there for the website and also to know exactly how to connect with her online. So great, great, great. Want to make sure we cover that so you have all of those ways. A lot of times in writing books like these where you have to go into your past and just bring up things that happened in the past, were there other people that you had to reference, maybe change their names or anything of that nature that you had to kind of guard well, they might not have been innocent, but just to keep the keep them. Did you have any of that you had to deal with?
No, because I didn't use names per se. I talk mostly about my relationship with my mother, my relationship with my father, a relationship with my son's father. But what I did do was I did let them know that I was writing this book. But the reason why I didn't have to necessarily get releases, although I did, just to say, but I didn't
right.
have to get releases because in this book, and which is the beauty of the book, I think I am taking full responsibility and accountability for my actions. So there's no blame game. There's no showcasing any of the people that I may be referencing
mm-hmm.
In a sense that I may need to be protected. I'm not slandering their character or anything like that. I am taking full responsibility for my actions and my behaviors, which means that I didn't have to go in, change names, and, all those things like that. And luckily, they did allow me to go ahead and tell my story and not have to go through all of that.
Oh, terrific, terrific. And I'm so glad you brought up the relationship with the father and how that impacts us later in life. We actually talked about this last show, last week, listeners, if you'll recall, and Wife School 101, and one of the things that the guest, Dr. BJ, talked about was if you have a relationship with your father that's on squeaky wheels or non-existent, or that you have to deal with it some kind of way, whether you talk to them,
yes.
whether you write a letter, because some of them may
yes.
have passed on, but you have to deal
mm-hmm.
with that, and the only way to get to a healthy relationship is to deal with that. So I'm glad that you kind of brought that up. Do you go into that? You just really highlight that in your book about the relationship with your father, non-existent or whatever it was, and how that impacted your actions?
Yes. Yes, I do talk about that in the book. The The blessing in that story is that I have the most wonderful relationship with my father today. I did write him a letter in the book, but when he read the book, it wasn't the first time that he had, you know, read the letter, because I read it to him way before. But we have an awesome relationship, and I realized that as soon as I was able to come to some sort of resolve with my father and my upbringing, that I chose better relationships. I knew what my worth was. You know, I knew what I wanted and what I deserved. And so it really helped me a lot. But prior to that, it was a trip. It definitely was a trip. It was an experience. It does have an impact. And granted, you know, it doesn't affect everyone the same. You know, I know some people who don't know their fathers and are doing well. But just the other external factors that were going on in my life, in addition to not knowing my father, you know, played a role as well. So I'm glad that there's some resolve and that, you know, we do have an awesome relationship, and it has been ongoing for a while now.
Oh, wonderful. And I'm so glad that I want to repeat that nugget you just said. You chose better relationships for yourself after you got these types of issues at least resolved. So I think that's a key, listeners, that we can make better choices or we'll have the wherewithal or the gut or the something to make better choices when we try to resolve these issues.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, do you have young girls? Do you speak to teens or young girl or young youth groups or anything of that nature?
I don't have a group of girls that I speak to. When I do my speaking engagements, I do address, you know, issues concerning younger girls as well as older females. And so it's more broad in terms of the age group. There's no specific generation that I speak to or I go to speak to. A lot of times once people know what the topics of discussion are in my book, then they'll call on me and pull on me to come in and talk about, you know, something specific. So
wonderful. I definitely could see you like at Girls Rock. You know, I could see you on that level. I could see you talk, you know, being able to speak to young women and women in general and everyone in general. So I can see that. All right. So once more, give our listeners all of your contact information and how they can connect with you.
I am on Facebook, Voices of Sin, facebook.com/voicesofsin, which is CYN, also on Twitter. com/voicesofsin, or you can check out my website at www.voicesofsin.com.
Wonderful. Well, it has been my pleasure to have you on the show, Miss Cynthia Evans and Voices of Sin, Traces of a Backslider. And I am excited again that we had an opportunity to chat with you and to learn a little bit more about your book and just to feature you on the show. And I think we should put our hands together for our guest. Woohoo!
Great. Thank you for having me, and I love your energy. I love your energy. You keep doing what you're doing. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for stopping by.
No problem.
All right. Oh, you're welcome. All right, listeners, I'm telling you what, that's going to wrap up just about another edition of the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. And we are excited because we are a media sponsor. We are a media sponsor for an upcoming Women's Empowerment Symposium that is kicking off here in the capital city of Richmond, Virginia. It's going to be Saturday, September 15th. Saturday, September 15th. Again, the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show is a media sponsor, and I'll actually be there as one of the commentators. But I'm telling you what, it's going to be the bomb, diggity. There are over 12 panelists. There will be a panel discussion about empowerment, so just how to be empowered, how to live empowered lives. There will be a panel discussion about relationships, and they have told me that no topic is off the table. So I am telling you what, it's going to be the bomb. Again, it is Women's Empowerment Symposium. It's presented by New Jerusalem International Christian Ministries. It takes place on Saturday, September 15th, here in the capital city of Richmond, Virginia. It's going to be at the Eastern Henrico Center, right at 1440 North Laburnum Avenue. It's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., it includes light continental breakfast. There will be a lunch and fashion show during the lunchtime. And guess what? It's free. It is absolutely free. You can't get any freer than free. It's absolutely free to the public. Go to justbeempowered.com. JustBeEmpowered.com, and you can see the lineup of the speakers. Oh, my goodness, Yvette Allen Tatum, Nicole Cleveland, Paulette Williams, Sharon Peace, Keisha Smith, Felicia Dixon. Oh, my goodness, Gina Cannon. Oh, my goodness, B.J. Fountain, Harriet Roberson, Edwinette Moses, Coretta Brown. Oh, Brenda Powell, Darshelle Moses, Teresa Gillison, Alicia Jones. And I'm telling you, those are ladies that are going to be featured at this Women's Empowerment Symposium, presented again by New Jerusalem International Christian Ministries. You can find them online at www.njicm.com. And again, the event website is justbeempowered.com. And the theme is women pursuing excellence. And the pursuing is like purses. You'll see a little pocketbook on the website. It's really cute how they're doing it. So Women's Empowerment Symposium, September 15th. And yours truly will be there as one of the commentators, as one of the hosts for that day. And I'm excited to be a part. Listen, that wraps up another edition of the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We are excited that you always tune in and check us out here. We'll be back next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Keep it locked right here. Check us out at charvette.com and listen to past shows and share the link with a friend. Bye.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, you've been listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Catch Charvette Mitchell every Tuesday at 6 p.m. interviewing all the stars you want to hear from. So until next week, stay motivated, excited, and influenced. This is the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.